I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Western Carolina University political science professor, Dr. Chris Cooper. Chris, as always, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, great to be here.
So on Wednesday, the North Carolina General Assembly reconvenes and begins its work in earnest for the session for the next 2 years. Big differences, obviously, is that the Republicans in both chambers no longer have a veto-proof majority to override any vetoes from Democratic Governor Roy Cooper. What does this actually mean, and what will be produced out of Raleigh over the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think what will be produced is a lot less than what would have been otherwise. So I think what we're looking at is a lot of stalemate. We've got divided control. There are 13 states in the country that have divided control, so it's not just us. But this is a big change from what we've seen in the last few years with supermajority control. So I think we would expect to see less passed, and what does get passed to take a lot longer.
That could include a state budget. Where might this go with a state budget?
That's right. So we are in the what's called the long session. So in North Carolina, there's a long session and a short session. In the long session, the idea is that we pass the budget, and in the short session, we don't. We just tweak the budget. And so we expect the long session to be longer than the short session. We would expect this one to be longer than most long sessions. And what I mean by that is we're going to have the governor and the General Assembly agree on a budget together. So whereas the last legislative session ended in July, I think we're probably looking at August or maybe even September.
Legislative priorities for both parties. Is either party going to see what they really want passed, like for Democrats, Medicaid expansion, for Republicans, I'm sure, more tax cuts and those sorts of things? Mm-hmm. Are we going to see anything substantive like that passed in the next 2 years?
It seems very unlikely, right? I think what we're going to see, again, is a lot of stalemate. We're going to see the General Assembly try to put a lot of bills on the governor's desk that may sell well to the public. And I think what we're going to see is Governor Cooper vetoing those bills.
So if we're not going to see too much substantive over the next 2 years, I think we can probably then see a lot of this will be moving the chess pieces into right places for the 2020 election. And we've seen some movement on that already this week. First, we'll start with the gubernatorial election. Governor Cooper, the Democrat, running for re-election next year. His likely GOP opponent announced this week that he's starting an exploratory committee to run for governor. So tell us more about Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest and what his move this week with the exploratory committee means.
Yeah, I think this was probably the worst-kept secret in the state of North Carolina, that Dan Forrest is, in fact, going to run against Roy Cooper for governor. Obviously, Cooper's election last time was extraordinarily close, among the closest in the country. And so Forrest has all the makings of a good candidate. He's got experience. He's got fundraising networks, and he's got name recognition. And so I think we're going to see an expensive campaign. I think we're going to see a tight campaign.
What might the issues be next year? I mean, we're obviously a long way off from it, but what might we be talking about in the fall of 2020 with this particular election?
Sure. I mean, I think one thing we will be talking about is Medicaid expansion, whether it passes or doesn't. I think we're going to see both parties staking out pretty clear positions on that. So I think Medicaid expansion is going to matter. I think obviously the economy of the state is going to matter. Cooper's going to try to take credit for whatever's going well in the state, and Forrest is going to try to blame him for whatever's not going well in the state. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises, but I do think it's going to be a really close race, which we'd expect in a really close state.
Another person on the ballot next year will be U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, a Republican running for a second term. His chances at re-election right now, Democrats did very well statewide in the 2018 election. Might they be able to keep the enthusiasm they saw last year going into 2020, and does that threaten Tillis's re-election prospects?
Yeah, I think it does, right? I think we're going to see, again, another close race. You've got to figure Tillis is the odds-on favorite. He's an incumbent. He has all of the advantages that incumbents have. He's going to be able to claim credit for whatever good is coming from the federal government to the state of North Carolina. At the same time, again, this is a really tight state, right? I think we are a swing state. We're a purple state. We are a state that everybody knows could go either way. So anytime you've got a statewide election in North Carolina, a Democrat or Republican could come out the victor.
Democrats also have to nominate a candidate to run against Tillis. Two announced this month. This week, State Senator Erica Smith from Northampton County announced her candidacy, and last week, Mecklenburg County Commissioner Trevor Fuller announced his candidacy. There's also a few other names out there of Democrats that might be running for this for the party's nomination next year. What kind of candidate would have success against Tom Tillis?
Yeah, I think the kind of candidate who will have success is going to be somebody who obviously has experience. So Smith is a multi-term North Carolina state senator, so she's got a good bit of experience. She can kind of make a good argument about what she's been able to do for the state. It's not impossible, but more unlikely that a county commissioner would have much success running statewide. So I think we're going to see more kind of traditional candidates come out. What I mean by traditional are folks who have held, you know, fairly high office in the state, state senator, state house member, or perhaps somebody who's been in the council of state.
Does it matter if the candidate's going to come from, Erica Smith is in Northampton County, it's a pretty rural part of northeastern North Carolina. Would there be a bigger advantage for a Democratic candidate to come from one of the state's major population centers, Charlotte or the Triangle?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing in North Carolina is increasing sorting. So what I mean by that is the cities are becoming bluer and the rural areas are becoming redder. So no matter what happens, a Democrat's going to do really well in Charlotte. They're going to do really well in Raleigh. They're going to do really well in Durham. So in some ways, I think it's to the Democrats' advantage to pull somebody from a more rural part of the state and make an argument that Democrats aren't just the party of the city.
Lastly, one of those cities in North Carolina that Democrats do pretty well in is the city of Asheville, where we're recording the interview here today. This month, Mayor Esther Mannheimer said they're looking at legal advice to try to overturn the creation of the city council election districts that the General Assembly passed last year, and they will go into effect for the 2020 election. There won't be a city council election in Asheville this year under that bill. Does the city have any chance of overturning this law?
It's certainly possible that they could overturn the law. I think that this illustrates this kind of bigger trend we've seen in North Carolina politics, which is the state government trying to tell local governments what to do more, to remind the local governments that local governments in North Carolina are just creatures of the state. So I think this kind of federalism fight has happened in North Carolina over the last few years. Maybe hasn't gotten quite the attention that some other issues have, but I think this particular issue highlights what is a real clear fault line in North Carolina politics.
Chris Cooper, thank you for coming in.
Thanks. Great to be here.